From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. Over the next several years, the city and borough of Juneau has a lot of promises to keep with environmental regulators after racking up dozens of pollution violations at its two main sewage treatment plants. Some of the promises have to do with the sewage treatment process itself. Others have to do with getting a better handle of what's going down the drain. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports.
Think about everything you put down the drain. You probably know better than to dump used motor oil, but what about bacon drippings? Flushable wipes? Nope. City officials say teaching everyone in Juneau what's okay or not is part of the path to running cleaner sewage treatment plants. That includes industrial waste, household chemicals, and fats, oils, and greases, and stopping this practice.
Sure, I'm like everybody else has a garbage disposal, and I use that instead of composting because I'm not a gardener.
That's Juneau Assemblymember Lauren Jones on a tangent during a meeting in February. Juneau's treatment plants have a tendency to get overloaded with organic matter, like food scraps, so in-sink garbage disposals aren't great. Coming up with strategies to control the sources of problematic waste is one of many obligations, big and small, that the city has under a new agreement with state regulators. It's part of the process to get its two main wastewater treatment plants into compliance with the Clean Water Act. The Clean Water Act is a landmark federal law passed in 1972. Lawmakers got motivated to adopt the sweeping legislation after a very polluted river in Ohio caught on fire.
When we see that there are effluent violations, we lose sight of the incredible success story that the Clean Water Act actually has been.
Michelle Hale has about 30 years of professional experience on water quality issues, including as the former director of the state's Water Quality Division.
If you reviewed discharge data from across the state and really across the nation, you would find that most dischargers end up violating permit limits at some point in time.
Hale is also a member of the Juneau Assembly. She says the city's violations should be taken very seriously, but they're also by design. As discharge permits are renewed every few years, the Clean Water Act gradually tightens pollution standards. The process the city is working through now is part of a feedback loop for cleaner and cleaner water.
So it's actually not a surprise when there's a discharge violation.
In a memo to members of the Juneau Assembly, City Manager Rory Watt hit on some big picture issues with the utility. He says the wastewater utility's culture of accommodation was the root cause of violations stacking up. He ticked off some specific examples, refusing in the past to raise utility rates for over a decade, accepting wastewater from cruise ships when capacity was limited, and a need for a sterner, more proactive approach to control what people put down the drain.
It's a balance between, you know, wanting to provide services to our constituents and businesses and being sure that we know our limits.
In a practical sense, wastewater treatment facility operators in Juneau aren't sure what some of those limits are. They know how big their treatment basins are, of course, and how to handle a range of normal sewage. But what works well on one batch might not on the next because of abnormal, harder-to-treat surges of wastewater from industrial users, cruise ships, and unknowns in the waste stream. The city has a study due next year to look at its options and a lot of questions to answer. What are the peak amounts of nastier sewage the plants can handle? Can new meters and instrumentation throughout the system help plant operators know and prepare to treat what's coming their way? Who are the industrial users, and what are they dumping down the drains? Do they need more oversight? Would upgrading treatment systems or expanding the city's plants be worthwhile? They'll also look into this.
The big panel. You can see it over there too. And it just agitates, mixes, and aerates at the same time.
That's downtown treatment plant manager Randall Brown on a catwalk over one of two huge basins. If cruise ships were in town, that big paddle would be churning and gurgling through a lot of brown water to promote the growth of microbes that eat sewage. But when the flow is low, it's drained and goes offline. Maybe it makes sense for the Mendenhall Valley to divert some of its sewage downtown. The valley has its own plant that's periodically overloaded. Eventually, all of that study data will come in and the city will have to make some decisions. Guy Archibald is the staff scientist at the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council and a wastewater expert. He thinks for-profit industries should bear more of the cost. He used to work in Tacoma, Washington, where wastewater rates better reflect users' impact.
The nastier stuff they were sending to the wastewater treatment plant, the more they charged the industrial user for that service.
In Juneau, that already happens with the cruise industry, but not other commercial users. Jeff Larson is the co-founder of one of the city's biggest wastewater customers, the Alaskan Brewing Company. He's also on the city's utility advisory board. Larson says coming up with different rates that account for the true cost of different users' sewer service would be pretty complicated, especially with Juneau's unusual geography.
Do we charge the person at the end of the road for all the pipe and lift stations that they should be paying for? And the person who's next to the wastewater treatment plant shouldn't pay any of that because he's just going right to the plant?
It's too early for policy calls like that. But Archibald says there are some things the average person can do that will help.
Are you willing to recycle, you know, compost your organic material, use more friendly cleaning products and toilet products, or are you going to pay more on your monthly bill to CBJ?
One way or another, someone's got to pay for what we flush. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
This is the last story for now in our deep dive into Juneau's sewage issues. To catch up on earlier stories, go to ktoo.org. In other news, more than 130 inmates at Lemon Creek Correctional Center have received COVID-19 vaccines. 70 of those have completed the series. Inmate numbers are updated weekly on the Alaska Department of Corrections website, but as KTOO's Bridget Dowd reports, tracking that data for corrections employees is not so simple.
The Alaska Department of Corrections is not tracking how many staff members have been vaccinated against COVID-19. Spokeswoman Sarah Gallagher said in an email that because many staff members receive vaccinations in the community, they're not able to track the total number. She said staff are not required to report vaccine information to the department, therefore they have no plans to track the data in the future. But Sergeant Randy McClellan with the Alaska Correctional Officers Association, that's the union that represents correctional officers, says the department should have a good estimate of how many staff members have been vaccinated.
Pretty much everybody that's been vaccinated, staff-wise, that I know of, got vaccinated at the facility. So the facility very much knows how many they've vaccinated. And I'd say that's the case for most facilities.
McClellan says from what he can tell, staff vaccination numbers have remained somewhat low so far.
Some are skeptical. Some had the virus and therefore don't think they need the vaccine anymore. And some really don't have a fear of it or don't have family members that are ill or compromised, so they didn't feel a need to get it.
Inmates are offered the vaccine but are not required to receive it. However, they are required to be fully vaccinated to have visitors. In Juneau, I'm Bridget Dowd.
Juneau city leaders are putting together next year's budget, and they want the public to weigh in. Beginning at 5:30 tonight, residents can weigh in on the city's budget via phone or Zoom. There's a link at ktoo.org. Items up for discussion include a proposed tax hike, the plan for spending federal stimulus funds, the school district budget, and capital improvement projects. For a broad overview of the city budget that City Manager Rory Watt and the Finance Department proposed at the City Assembly, visit juneau.org/budget. They're also considering raising the mill rate, which is used to calculate property taxes. The budget process is far from over. An Assembly Finance Committee is still reviewing individual department-level budgets throughout April and May. A final vote on the city's full budget isn't required until mid-June. And officials have expressed concern about flooding this year along some parts of the Kuskokwim River as snowpack begins to melt. A National Weather Service hydrologist says several villages flooded last year along the Johnson River, a tributary of the Kuskokwim in western Alaska, accelerating erosion and permafrost degradation. The state officials have encouraged people who might be affected by flooding from ice jams to prepare evacuation sites. If people cannot evacuate locally, the National Guard Armory in Bethel could serve as a regional shelter. By following pandemic protocols and spacing costs six feet apart, the armory could accommodate up to 75 people if needed. And Alaska lawmakers want to say in how the state spends more than $1 billion from a new federal aid package. A year after largely ceding decision-making on a prior pandemic-related relief package to Governor Mike Dunleavy. For more on this and other stories, you can go to ktoo.org. This is KTOO News.